Welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred with your host, Tony Moore. Here we talk about how to take responsibility for your decisions, stop hurting people, become a positive force in your community, and end the criminal thinking that deters everyone.
Morning, and welcome to another edition of our Criminal Thinking Deterred. My name is Tony Moore. I'm your host. I'm with my executive director and editor, Philip Day and Earl Weaver. Today, our very special guest is Ramon Boston. He is an awesome youth minister here in Kenosha, Wisconsin at Bethlehem Temple. I want to introduce him and let him get a chance to tell us a little bit about himself. Welcome this morning, Ramon.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be here. Pleasure. Thank you all for having me.
Yes, you're a youth minister at Bethlehem Temple, and tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about where you come from. How did you get to Kenosha in the first place?
Well, born and raised in the city of Chicago. I grew up on the south side, the farther south side of Chicago. They call it the Wild Hundreds. I pretty much touched all sides of Chicago, west side, east side, north side, and south side. You know, growing up in Chicago was a, pretty rough experience for me. You know, I was exposed to a lot as a youngster. You know, I remember seeing so many devastating things at an early age. And, you know, I grew up to become, as they say, a product of my environment. You know, I started to experiment in selling drugs and, you know, doing drugs and things of that nature. You know, I was in and out of jail, you know, and, you know, just a lot of things that just kind of prompt me into a criminal lifestyle. You know, at a very, very early age, you know, starting when I was around 6 years old, you know, I used to go into a store called Horizon over on the east side of Chicago, right around somewhere on Cottage Grove. And I used to cut school at 6 years old, believe it or not. And we'll go into the store, me and a couple of my friends, and we would just steal. So, you know, that right there at an early age kind of drew me into becoming a stick-up kid, you know, throughout my teenage years and, you know, drug dealer, you know, all the whole nine. And ended up leaving Chicago at age 20, I believe. And I went to Houston, Texas with the same mindset that I had in Chicago, same lifestyle. And I went there in hopes of bettering myself, but just didn't happen that way. And then kind of caught the traveling bug. I moved over to Monroe, Louisiana. I was there for a while. Still the same criminal activity, fights, you know, sticking people up, manipulating, robbing, and all of that stuff. And then I ended up in Kenosha. And same thing until one day, you know, God just began to speak to my heart and my mind. And it was amazing how he done it. You know, he just started to take things, these different desires that I had, started taking it away from me, and, you know, he ended up saving me.
Yes. Well, tell me a little bit about your first experience with prison or jail. How did that come about? What age were you in?
I was around 15 years old when I first went to jail. I went to jail probably about three or four times. The first time I went to jail, it was for, I got caught with some weed. And, you know, I was young at the time and, you know, I just liked to smoke a lot. And police rode up on me. I was with a couple of my old buddies. And, you know, at that time, you know, they have the no snitching, you know, code of the streets. And we were all smoking in his mom's car. And I had probably about, you know, around that time in Chicago, probably like the late 90s, early 2000s, if you got caught with like a gram or something on you, going to jail, you know. So I think I had probably about 2 grams of weed on me, which is not a lot, but, you know, it was my first jail experience. And, you know, you could even go to the county, you know, the county jail. And police pulled us over, and we were high as a kite. And, you know, we were cutting school at the time, too. So police searched the car and all of that. And I ended up taking a rap for the weed, and they locked me up, took me to jail. And that was my very first experience of being in jail, you know, young 15-year-old kid, you know, not knowing anything about jail, you know. And when I set up in there, it was a horrible experience for me, you know, because it was like, it was just something that I never experienced before. So being in that, you know, sleeping on the hard benches, and, you know, getting fed the cold bologna sandwiches and all of that. And it was just a horrible experience. Yeah, that was my first time.
And why didn't that deter you or put fear in you to make you stop and change your lifestyle?
Well, it was just the experience, you know. When you go into jail, you know, it's what it does is it you start to think about your freedom. You know, that's one of the things you think about is your freedom. Like, you know, this is gonna stop me from being able to, you know, just live my life the way I would like to live. You know, you're behind bars, you know, you got someone that's telling you what to do and how to do it. Then you're in here with all of these other inmates that's just, everybody has a chip on their shoulder, you know, and then you eating the way that they want you to eat and all of that. You're sleeping in these horrible, you know, horrible circumstances and all of that. So for me, it was like, you know, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to continue on to with doing this, but, you know, I still didn't learn my lesson at that time, because it was a couple more times that I got locked up.
Okay. And as you know, your criminal thinking, how did your criminal thinking become a part of who you were growing up in your journey from Chicago through Monroe and all of those places? How did it get so solid in you? Were you gang related? Were you with family? Was a part of your belief system? What was that about?
Well, it started off when I was a kid. You know, my cousins, like my family was predominantly gang related. You know, there were Blackstone Rangers, you know, Black Disciples. It was my family was predominantly Blackstone Rangers, and they were, you know, like, they were ranking officers of the Blackstone Rangers, like, you know, regions, and, you know, they called them G's back in the day. And I ended up following one of my cousin's footsteps. You know, my aunt raised me. My mother didn't raise me, and I didn't know my father, and I was raised by my aunt. So my cousin, you know, he was a high-ranking drug dealer. You know, I would watch him come in the house, and, you know, he would be, you know, he had fresh clothes on and all of that, and, you know, a lot of different cars. So, you know, I saw that lifestyle at an early age, and I was so much exposed to it. And for me, Brother Tony, I didn't have any male figure to really instill in me the properties of being a young man, you know, a proper young man. So what I did is I became a product of my environment from what I saw. So it just carried on down through the years. You know, I became solid in that lifestyle from what I saw and what was brought to my attention at an early age. You know, the things that I saw from a physical standpoint, watch my cousin cooking up crack cocaine and all of that. So it became instilled in me. And I was also a Black disciple as well. I was a Black disciple.
So in learning that, learning what you have learned, how important is the male role figure to that lifestyle? How important is having the image of a positive male or a negative male to a young man's lifestyle? Is a man really important to demonstrate for another young brother how to grow up, or what it takes to be a man? Do you need that positivity?
I think for me, going through that lifestyle and learning the different ramifications of that lifestyle has caused me personally to be able to share with other young men that's living that lifestyle, you know, how to come out of that lifestyle. I think that's important. You know, for me, I didn't grow up in church, you know, I grew up in the streets. So going through the things that I went through, you know, going to jail, robbing people, getting shot at, you know, almost losing my life, being a heavy gangbanger in the streets, and going through the things that I went through and how it became so repetitive, and it begins to cause me to say, you know what? I don't want to live like this before no more, because I don't want it to destroy my freedom. That for me helps me to be able to lend it to someone else, another young man that may be struggling from the same things that I struggled from. You know, so I believe that it's important when you live this lifestyle to be able to share with someone else, like, hey, there's a better way out. You know, I went through this, I went through that. I understand that you're going through this. And you'll be surprised how many young men and women will gravitate to you when you actually live that lifestyle and you're able to share with them how you came through it.
Mm-hmm. So as a minister, what is your message of hope primarily that you give?
I would say this. One of the things that young people struggle with is fitting in. You know, like I said, when I grew up, I didn't have anybody to teach me and train me. I didn't have that that no one with the bass in their voice to say, hey, don't do it this way, do it that way. You know, I didn't have anyone to teach me how to tie a tie. I didn't have anyone to teach me, you know, the fundamentals of life. And as a minister, I would say that one of the problems that we have in society today as young people is fitting in and being accepted, you know, and want to be in with the in crowd. And I would say that, you know, just, you know, pay attention to your surroundings and who you really interact with. And, you know, a lot of times we worry so much about how people will perceive us, you know, living that lifestyle. And that was one of my things. You know, I wanted people to say, hey, you know, when it's time to go down, we're going to call Boston because he's the one that's going to go in. And I will say for the young people that you don't have to live that lifestyle. You know, it's not any glorification in that, because we glorify that lifestyle so much. And at the end of the day, you either two places, or you're dead or you're in jail. So I would say that, you know, that there's a way out, because there's a lot of young people that's crying. They're really afraid, because I was afraid. You know, I was afraid of losing my freedom. And they want to hear a voice that's going to lead them out of their lifestyle. So that's what I'm here for as a minister, to lead them out of their lifestyle from having that experience of being in the streets of Chicago, Monroe, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, and here in Kenosha. Yeah.
So as a minister, how does the church and scripturally and through the biblical approach, can you use a change of mind? Can you transform the mind of young folks? Or do you use it, you let the secular side of you, the example, demonstrate?
Go ahead.
Demonstrate what change looks like.
Yeah, I always do the before and the after. You know, this was me, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago. You know, I sold dope. I was in dope houses. You know, I sold weed. You know, I did all of this stuff, but God changed me and brought me to a better way. You know, the Bible says, there's a scripture that says, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And that's the process. You know, everybody's not going to gravitate to that so quickly. So I believe you have to deal with people where they are accordingly. And that's what I do when I'm witnessing to the person that's in the streets, that's going through this rough lifestyle. I think, you know, when you share your testimony, you deal with them accordingly, and you deal with them slowly where they are. And you say, okay, listen, I was here, but God dealt with me in stages. He started taking things from me when I didn't even realize what was going on, but I started to talk to God and I became sick and tired of their lifestyle. So when a person comes to me and they want help, that's the first step. You come into me as a minister because you're needing help. So that's your first step right there. So my job is to give you that testimony of what God can do and how he could do it. And we have to do that from a process of you have to use wisdom when you're dealing with the individual, because you don't want to run them away. That is the primary thing. You have to use the wisdom, you know, when you're doing that. So that's how I deal with the individual that's coming from the streets. You know, I start off slowly, tell them that testimony, which is that's the most important thing. Give them that testimony, and they'll be able to gravitate from that through experience. Yes.
Now, in all of that, and being able to help others is very, very, very important to demonstrate that the hope and change is possible. Been my experience as watching people in the secular, as a therapist myself, and a trustee of the church, and using both approaches. Me taking care of my fundamental self is more inclined to be tested, because I got to remember that I got to take care of me and demonstrate for myself what hope looks like so that I'm able to give it. How are you able to do the self-care and be able to make sure you save yourself from this untoward generation? Making sure that you stay safe.
Well, one of the most important things is to, like I mentioned early, I have to pay attention to my surroundings and who I interact with, because I'm an example. You know, I'm supposed to be an example. I'm supposed to be the one that people would look at and say, hey, you know, this is an individual that I could glean from, that I could gravitate to. So I have to constantly stay unspotted from the world. You know, Paul says in the Bible that I have to mortify the deeds of the body. I have to overcome the works of the flesh. And that's a process within itself, you know. So everything that I have to do has to be strategic. And it also has to be with the mindset of, hey, I have to be the one that's going to be an example to other people. So whatever I do has to be pleasing unto the Lord, from the standpoint that I could, you know, reach an individual that's going through these situations. So it's an everyday work for me as a minister, because again, I'm supposed to be a primary example of what it is to come out of that lifestyle. So if I'm falling back and going back to perdition, And I've witnessed to an individual and they see me dipping and dabbing in things that I came out of, and I done made myself a transgressor. So they're going to look at me like, how could I gravitate to you? Because remember, they need help. Their first step was to come to me, you know, as a minister, and say, hey, man, I need your help. How did you do this? How did you do that? They start asking questions. So when they see me drawing back to something that I came out of, when I've already told them, hey, you can come out of this, then they're gonna look at me side eye. So it's important for me to keep myself clean and unspotted from the world, you know, so that I can be able to constantly help those that are in need. So that is my daily routine as a Christian man and a minister of the gospel, to continue to keep myself unspotted.
Yeah, that scripture that talks about where Paul talks about, I die daily.
Right.
I have to make those sacrifices. I find that people have a hard time in a position of leadership with the power that comes from change and the power that comes from the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. There's two different powers that operate. And unless you stand studied, you're reading and stand focused on the scriptures and focus on the example that Jesus left as an unsinning man, you have problem with the power. Most people have power with the problem. The power is they get to thinking it's something that they can use or do, but it's God's power in both sides of it. And you got to remember that. I watch you orchestrate, and I'm watching you grow as a minister, and you're on the right track. So in saying that, the power of both of those abilities in you coming from the gang lifestyle, changing, and now a minister, Holy Ghost, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
Do they clash, or do you know how to use both of them at the same time?
I would say this. You mentioned the power of change. You know, the power of change is the reason why I've come this far, you know, and I have to keep that solid, that power of change, because that's the reason why I've come this far. You can't get the Holy Ghost unless you change. You know, the power of the Holy Ghost comes when you decide that, hey, I want to give this life up. I'm ready to change. I'm coming to you, Lord, with a broken and contrite spirit. I want to change. That's the reason. That's when the power of change starts to activate, when you come to God, you know, acknowledging that he is who he is, and you telling the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to change. Then, okay, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. Now it becomes a duality. You know, it's together.
Yes.
You work hand in hand. You know, you have to display that change through the Holy Ghost to the people that are around you, because that's what they want to see. They want to see the change. I have people reach out to me all the time and they tell me, hey, I'm proud of you, man. I remember how you was, but God changed you. And the reason why God changed me is because I said, I'm done with this lifestyle. Now they could clash. And the reason why they could clash is because, going back to what we're saying, you said the scripture, Paul said, I die daily. You have to execute that change each and every day of your entire life. And that requires dying daily. You know, every day we have to put the flesh down, because there's going to be something that's going to trigger you, you know, into that old mindset. You remember, the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And once you get converted, his job is to try to bring you back. So every day you have to execute that change, you know, that you decided that, hey, I'm going to change my lifestyle. And the Holy Ghost is going to help you through that. It's going to navigate you through that. You know, he's going to lead you and guide you. That's what the Spirit of God does. And once he leads you and guides you, you know, and you, that change, you know, it becomes hand to hand. You know, you're working it together. You know, I've changed through the Holy Ghost. So now I'm going to lend this to the people and let them know that through the Holy Ghost, you know, you could change too. So that's how I look at that.
Yes. I have seen people get kind of confused with changing, using a secular method of change and a spiritual method of change. And they believe that you're saved in a spiritual way if you change. No, you got to, there's two different changes in that. You could change and change ways of your behavior and do all those things and become a better person and have character and an integrity. But if you're going to have a spiritual change, then that's a whole new scriptural basis and a whole new different method.
Right.
So that's why I say, when you understand both methods of change, and operate with the understanding of the power of both, it's an awesome experience to get the knowledge and the wherewithal to deal with the worldly things as they are, drugs, alcohol, crime, sex, whatever, and then have a spiritual change that can take you to a whole nother level and guided by the Holy Ghost and do the things you need to do to minister the hope and the faith of a spiritual journey. And watching that and seeing how I watch you go back to school and I watch you in the church and I seeing you use more of the spiritual change to author your way of your journey. How has that blessed you to be able to be the man you are as an African-American male dealing with the world you deal with?
I would say, first of all, you know, I would say it was predominantly the Spirit of God that really activated in my life. And with that, oftentimes, you know, I reflect back on the things that I did not accomplish, the things that I was not able to do because of the lifestyle that I was involved in. So through the Spirit of God, you know, the scripture says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, down through the years, the Lord has given me strength to be able to overcome the obstacles that I could not overcome before being filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that has led me and guided me rather to the mm-hmm. things that I've received now. It was by the leading of the Holy Ghost that, you know, led me to go back to school and obtain my degree. It's by the leading of the Spirit of God that has led me to have this mindset to accomplish the things pertaining to righteousness and holiness for his name's sake. Because at the end of the day, whatever I do, I want to please God. And whatever I do from a positive standpoint, you know, I want to please God. I don't want nothing negative in my life. So, you know, if there's anything contrary to God's will for me, you know, I got to get rid of that. You know, and I don't want that, you know, in my lifestyle. So, you know, how I became the man that I became today is you know, predominantly through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you know, that has led me, you know, to become the man that I am today. And it's been a process, but, you know, I'm overjoyed by what God can do for you. God can do some wonderful, miraculous things for you if you allow him. You know, if you allow God to do it for you, he'll do it.
And now that you have found your way, what do you see as the hope for the young folks? You have a session tomorrow. You're preaching tomorrow, and you're teaching on. You're gonna be. Is it mostly just youth, or are you just using the youth as the pull to get people to church?
Well, it's that. I believe it's mostly that, you know, we want to, you know, as ministers, you know, we want to compel, you know, men and women to come into this gospel, you know, that was Jesus's mission to, when Peter preached his first sermon, he preached that the people, you know, be saved. And, that's what I want to get, you know, lend a message to the young people that there's a better way. You know, you'll be surprised how many young people are struggling. We're living in a day and time to where depression is at an all-time high. You know, suicide is at an all-time high. And it's in the young people. You know, a lot of young people have, you know, they don't know which way to go. And they're looking for a voice of an individual that has lived that lifestyle to be able to tell them, hey, listen, you know, if you follow me as I follow Christ, you know, and I guarantee you, you know, you'll come out victorious. So that's my job, you know, as a youth minister, the youth president of our assembly is to compel men and women, you know, as best as I could with the best in the knowledge and ability that I have to be able to do that. And with every fiber of my being, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm gonna try to reach the young people, you know, as best as I could. Some of them have cried to me and they've told me, man, you've helped me. Whatever situation it is, they may be struggling with alcohol addiction, you know, abuse, physically and mentally. And just through my words of what I lend to them through the Spirit of God, because that's what leads me and guides me. It has comes from the Spirit of God. You know, God deals with me strategically. Sometimes I have to jot things down because that's how God deals with me. And so that I can remember to give to the people, you know. And it's just an amazing work that God has wrought in me. And, you know, I want to give it to the people as best I could.
So as you have grown, and now that you have navigated into the business world, and you have opened up the business, how does that feel, going from the criminal behavior to now a businessman, entrepreneur, trying to find your way through creating business for yourself and your family?
You know, growing up, you know, we and you could attest to this too, because we had a legal hustle mentality when we were growing up. You know, we would bag up, you know, crack cocaine. You know, me and my wife, we would sell, we sold quarter pounds of marijuana at one particular time frame. So I believe that through the knowledge and the ability that God has given me through the Spirit, you know, has caused me to take that mentality that I had and flip it to a more positive, you know, mindset through the Holy Ghost, and has given me the tools to be able to, you know, start this business through prayer and seeking God. I believe that prayer is our ultimate weapon. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, if you ask the Father anything in my name, you know, Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, then you receive it. And, you know, we ask God, you know, me and my wife, we prayed. We asked God to bless us with something that'll be not only beneficial to ourselves, but that's going to help the people, you know. And you know, it's been a blessing. So I took the hustle mentality that I had in the past and flipped it on a more positive spiritual standpoint through the help of the Holy Ghost. So it helped me to be able to attain my business degree and use the tools that I had to, you know, me and my wife come together and navigate this cleaning service that we have. Yes. And it's all through the help of God.
And what kind of cleaning service you got?
We have a commercial cleaning service. It's called Shays Cleaning Service. We have a website to that. It's www.cleaningbyshay.com. And we've been in business about 5+ years. We do commercial cleaning, carpet cleaning, upholstery, and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yes, yes. And y'all do a wonderful job. I've seen some of your work, and you do a wonderful job. And you say your wife is also in the business with you?
Yes, yes. She is she's the owner, and then I'm the organizer of the business. So we work hand in hand together, you know, and it's been a wonderful thing. You know, me and my wife, we're together every single day. And I would say that is a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to work with my spouse every day. So yeah, it's been an honor. It's been a joy.
Well, the power of change is just an awesome thing. And to see what you have done with all the things that you have had, adversity in your life from 6 years old to now, tomorrow you're going to be a minister in a service at a church for youth. Just to see you come from that place and watch your growth again. We came in to Bethlehem about the same time, and watching you grow and continue to watch you grow with your family as a man is awesome. Awesome event in my life to see that the hope is possible, and to see that everyone who want this thing, you actually can have it.
Yes.
If you pursue it and go, and there's men out there like yourself and myself that are willing to give whatever we have to help you on your journey, to find your way back, to deal with the adversity that we deal with as a part of our testimonies to help people find their way. So being in the ministry and the brotherhood with you and other brothers has been a joy, and that's why I do these podcasts, because I want other people to see that there are men out here that are available, that got the knowledge to help you process change and, right, and find your way. It doesn't have to always be off the top, come through the overweighting of I don't want to find Jesus. Okay, if you don't want to find Jesus, you still have to change some of that bad behavior and be a man and create a legacy for a family that is positive. You have to walk away from that crime. You have to walk away from that lifestyle so that you can begin to say, you know, maybe it's possible that we can have a village that promotes healthy choices to our families and to our kids, that can make it your reasonable service so that you can get yourself cleaned up to find a deeper spiritual place if that's what you choose. But if you don't, you don't have to cause harm on everybody else. You can recognize when the trouble is coming. Yeah. I like the spiritual side because it gives me a chance to see it coming and discern it before it come and be able to share with my family, my sons, my daughters, and my grandkids and great-grandkids that it's possible to change, y'all. It's possible that we have a legacy of God-loving, God-fearing individuals in our family and reap the benefits of giving that ministry of hope to everybody else through our faith.
Yeah.
So any last words? Any last words that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yes, I want to say that one thing about change is something that a lot of people are afraid of. You know, it's like when a kid transfers from another school and they go to another school, you go from another area to another area, state to state. A lot of people are afraid of change. But as you mentioned, there's power in change. You know, when you're able to withstand it and navigate through it, you'll start to witness the power that comes with the change. You know, and a lot of times, you know, for me, before I got received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I was afraid of that change because I was worried about how people were going to perceive me, how people were going to look at me, how people were going to gravitate to this lifestyle. But as I continue to navigate through it, I begin to see and witness the power of the change that God has wrought within me. So I would tell people just that, embrace the change. You know, you might be afraid, you know, once the first go around, but as you continue through it, you will begin to see great results. So as you said, there is power in change. Just embrace it.
Yeah. And closing, dealing with the anxiety and the fear of the uncomfortable, change is uncomfortable. And once you learn to be uncomfortable as you pursue your success in whatever it is that you're going, understand that that's a part of the growth, the feeling, the newness of what you're doing, the transformation of where you're coming from. It's going to have some anxiety and some, wow, this is different. Yes, it is. Right. It's powerful. It's a powerful place, and it's not nothing to fear. It's just something to it, as you said earlier, to embrace it.
Yes.
So absolutely. This has been a good episode. I want to thank you very much, Mr. Boston, Minister Boston, for coming on. Hope to have you back on again when your schedule permits. And thank you very much.
Yes, God bless. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. All right. Yes. Bless you.
You've been listening to Criminal Thinking Deterred with Tony Moore. Visit our website, www.criminalthinking.net. Follow Criminal Thinking on Facebook and Instagram. Also, listen, follow, and download Criminal Thinking Deterred on the major podcast channels. Thank you, and have a productive day. Today gonna be better than yesterday. Making memories with my family, getting closer to my goals. Yeah, I gotta make a better way. Yeah, today gonna be better than yesterday.